Welcome to the June 24th, 2007 morning worship service of College Park Baptist Church. Today's sermon is presented by Reverend Raymond Smith and is entitled Stay Between the Lines. If you are in Winston-Salem, please join us for worship and fellowship at 1701 Polo Road. You can find out more about our church at www.collegeparkbaptist.org. And now for our worship service.
It may be summertime and the kids are out of school. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
But things don't slow down for the church. A lot of exciting things going on. The youth and children and adults and mission projects. Our graduating seniors just returned from a trip down to the Keys in the Caribbean this week. They had a great trip, and their fearless leader, Jeff Allen, led them safely home. And as we look toward the rest of the summer and a lot of different activities, Mountain Outreach is almost upon us. And for those of you who may be visiting with us today or may not be very familiar with Mountain Outreach, our church has been involved for a number of years now in a project where we take practically our whole church, usually somewhere between 100 and 150 people, up into the mountains of Kentucky near Cumberland College, which is which are the people that we partner with. And we build a house each year in 1 week for a family that needs some shelter, needs a place to stay. And this is something that's been very vital in the life of our church and a lot of people have been a part of over the years. And it's starting next Sunday. And so with a quick word on Mountain Outreach and the preparations for that, I want to recognize Roger Jones.
Well, if you can do it quick.
I can't do it. Good morning, good morning, good morning.
Good morning.
I love that response. I'm going to teach Jeff how to do that one of these days. Well, I'm up here before you again, and I'm wearing my smiling tie. And there's only one reason for that. I got the money. $37.89. Praise the Lord for that. And there's still more coming in. Matt Wilson has pink hair. He had his Bible school down at Dunn this week, and the boys and the girls had a competition to buy building materials for Mountain Outreach, and the girls won. So they had the opportunity to dye his hair pink, and they raised over $900, so that's on the way. We need some help for pickup items this week. So if you'll call me, I'll be able to give you an assignment, the two of you, to go pick up some items that we need to get into here before Saturday. The top of the bus is packed thanks to Nathan Cobbler and James Edmonds and Trey Sowers. So all the ladders are on and strapped down and all the horses and tent poles and all of that's done. Don's in pretty good shape, getting things ready to go back on the bus, and we're loading the bus on Tuesday night, and Russ Talley's leading that team. So if you want to help out, let him know. We still need a few items. We need curtains, and we need a queen-size mattress and springs, and then there's some food items that still need to be filled in. And the drinks, I understand we're behind on that, Bob, a little bit. And we load the bus on Saturday morning. What time, Barbie? 8 or 8:30? 8:30, all right. I heard all of that. I think I'm almost finished here. Let me look one other thing here. Oh, yeah, maps. One map per driver if you're driving. And they're down where, Wilbur? Where? Table, sign-up table. Okay. So we're loading the food trailer also on Saturday. If you can help do that, Mary and Ellen... Alice, what time? Janet, somebody. I didn't hear you. I guess you're not going to handle your own people then. If you want, need, will contact me if you can help out on that, so we'll be ready to go. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Thank you, Roger. When he said what he did about Matt Wilson raising $900, some of you were probably saying, well, that's great that Matt did that. What I was thinking was, how would Raj look with pink hair? I think we've got a fundraising idea for next year. So one programming note, because Mountain Outreach will begin next Sunday and the group will be getting ready to leave, we started a tradition, I think, maybe 2 years ago of having an earlier worship service, that is a worship service and a commissioning service for Mountain Outreach. So next week, as is on the back of the order of worship, worship will be at 8:30 here in the sanctuary next week. We will have Sunday school afterwards, so worship will be at 8:30 and Sunday school in its normal time at 9:30. But there will be no 11 o'clock worship. So if you come into contact with some of your friends or some people you're in contact with this week and they weren't here today or they're not aware of that, you may just want to mention that to them, because worship at 8:30, Sunday school at 9:30 next week. A couple of notes about this week. First, today there is children's celebration, and the children will go with Bryn during hymn 328, I believe. Tonight, the life service, 7 o'clock. We will have the life service tonight. Look forward to seeing some of you there. The life service is our contemporary service that we have in Smith Hall, and would encourage you to come and be a part of that. We're going to be outside tonight. Okay, outside on the front lawn tonight, even better. And it should be nice. Yeah. As for the rest of the week, the weekly schedule is printed on the back of your order of worship. This past Wednesday night, we started a summer series called In a Word, and we're using some very inspirational videos. There's some short DVDs by Rob Bell, and they focus on one word and a new way to look at this word and look at relationship with Christ and relationship with the Lord. This past week, Raymond led a study on dust, and the video was just powerful. And those of you who are here know what kind of inspiration that the video can bring and inspire some good discussion as well. This week we'll be doing it as well, and I'll be leading on Wednesday night. We'll have time for a bring your own bag supper at 6:30, and then the Bible study and program will start at 7. We don't stay here long. We don't spend a lot of time during the summer, but it's a good time of fellowship and good time of Bible study as well. I'd like to recognize Raymond.
Let me say one other word about our life service tonight. If you would like to, at 6 o'clock, bring your lawn chair. We'll have a few chairs out there, but if you'd like to, bring a picnic supper and come out at 6 o'clock and fellowship with each other. We came and kind of got in the habit of doing that last summer, and it was a great time of fellowship. So feel free to come do that beginning at 6 o'clock. You don't have to be right at 6 o'clock, but our life service will begin at 7. So if you'd like to come fellowship and eat a meal out on the grounds together, that's a wonderful time. So I invite you to come be a part of that. I would like to introduce a good friend of mine, a fellow named Joel Settle, and his wife, Lori. Joel, I've known for a number of years. We started together slaving in youth ministry together, and Joel began and his wife and family began a new work while they were serving at First Baptist Kernersville. They began a new work that we have come to know as the Summit Church over in Kernersville. He is now working on a new project. They're living down at the lake in that area and trying to put together a new start down there. And he came and spoke with our deacons last month, and they were really excited about some things that they heard, and they wanted to bring him and let him speak to you directly to let you kind of catch a vision for what's going to be happening and what they are looking forward to see how maybe as a church we can be a support and partner with them in ministry. So, Joel, if you would come, please share with us.
It really is my pleasure and honor to be able to speak to you just a moment about the new work we're hoping to launch in the fall of this year. If everything comes together, we'll go in the fall. If everything doesn't come together the way it should in my mind, then we'll go for the spring. But we're certainly shooting for the fall and real excited about this new work that's happening. Raymond and I, of course, go way back. When I first came to town in 94, fresh out of seminary, Raymond was one of the first guys on the block to give me a call and said, hey, let's go out to lunch. So I remember going out and getting to know him then, and then together working on several projects together, taking the PMBA fall youth retreat kind of to the next level and being able to expand that ministry, and over the years seeing that grow together. And we've just stayed in touch over the years. And one of the things that I was able to do that I've really been proud of was to be able to launch this new work called The Summit in 2000 in Kernersville. And it kind of had a vision for that back in the mid-90s and worked together with First Baptist Church and kind of sharing a vision with them about what I hoped could happen there, what I believed would happen. And, of course, we were able to launch that church in 2000, and it has grown beautifully. They're averaging over 750 in attendance each week now. When I left there in 2004, they were averaging nearly 400, so they've continued to grow. They have broken ground and will complete their first building later this year on 32 acres of land that we were able to purchase while I was there. So that's a really proud part of our life and something that we were able to be a part of. I stepped away from that ministry and just began to spend some more time with family, and really wanted to strengthen my relationship with my wife at that time, because when you start a new work, sometimes, and you start a new business, sometimes you can really just get so involved in that new work that it can take some of the attention away from other important parts of your life, which is family. And so I recognized one day, you know what, my life with my family is just not where it needs to be. So I decided to begin to look for a person to come in and to take over the Summit Church for me and to be the new leader there. And God sent that person. And he, of course, has been the right guy and has continued to take that church in another direction, a positive direction of growth. So I've been really pleased to see that. Since then, Lori and I have built another business called J.R. Settle & Sons, which has just been a great little real estate investment company. Also, during that tenure, I did a little stint in the marketplace at Brighton Gardens. Some of you probably remember me coming and talking a little bit about that. But, you know, I discovered that's just not the place for me. That was not where God wanted me to be. And so over the past few years, I've continued to serve in the church, and we attended here and were part of the life service, which we really enjoyed. And by the way, this is an outstanding church. When I come in here, and I've been into a lot of churches and had an opportunity to speak in a number of places, particularly traditional churches, and I have never felt a more alive church than I feel right here. You people really have good relationships. It's just a real blessing, truly, to be in a place like this. And I want to tell you that, because I know this is your church, but you need to know it's a great church, and it's an incredibly healthy church, and I appreciate what you guys are doing. I appreciate your vision for ministry and to hear what you're doing with Kentucky Outreach and to even consider being a part of our new work. But at any rate, we have been, we moved out to Troutman last summer, and I became involved with a friend of mine in a church at Charlotte North Fellowship in Huntersville. And I began to help and partner with him in ministry down there, kind of coming off the bench. I'd always wanted to do that, to not be paid to do ministry, but to just do it. And even though my training was professional in ministry, I wanted to just serve. And so I had an opportunity to do that. And I did a number of series there and have spoken and served on their teams and that type of thing. But earlier this year, God sort of spoke to me, and he said, Joel, you know, it's time for you to get back into the vocational game. I want you to get out there, and I want you to launch a new work in the Troutman area. It's one of the fastest-growing areas in our region right now. Of course, you know Lake Norman has exploded with growth. I grew up in Salisbury. There were 25,000 people or so in Salisbury 25 years ago. In Mooresville, there were 25,000. Now there's about 35,000 in Salisbury, but probably 400,000 in and about Mooresville. It's an incredibly prosperous and growing area. NASCAR has done a lot out there to fuel that economy. But it's growing like gangbusters. And all of that is moving north of the lake into the Troutman area, which is about an hour from here. And so we're seeing subdivisions popping up everywhere. And you know what? There's just not a place, there are not enough churches in that area to support all of that growth. There are some very healthy churches in and about Troutman, but there's not going to be enough over the next couple of years to support 3,000 and 4,000 and 5,000 homes that are planned right in a 5-mile area. So we had this vision to start this brand new work, And I went to the state convention and talked to the guys in the church planning department there, and they're all for it and are supporting it and planning to offer financial support. Our local association there has never, ever given money to a brand new work. But they've said, you know what, we're so excited about what you've got planned here that we're going to support this financially, which is a huge step for them. So we're excited about that. And then I had the opportunity to talk to Raymond and say, look, Raymond, here's another something that you and I can look at together and maybe partner in, and this might be something your church would be interested in. So he invited me to come and to talk to your deacons, and they were so excited about it. And guys, we would love to have you be involved with this new work. We would love to have you do a couple of things for us. Maybe at the very beginning, just consider praying, because there's a lot that goes into starting a brand new work. So we just need your prayer and saying, hey, God, we need you to put this together for us. This is a huge effort. And secondly, we would love for you to come and to be a part, just like you're sending teams to Kentucky next week, that you might send a team down an hour down the road to provide some critical mass for us in those initial services. One thing you don't want to do if you're a brand new person and we're reaching out to unchurched people is to walk into an empty room or to a sparsely filled room. So we need people in seats, just warm bodies. And maybe you'd just come down there and say, hey, we're just going to be in the seats and support you. We'll hand out programs or bulletins. We'll sit and care for children so that people can go into the service. Whatever. You know, we'd love for you guys to consider doing that over a period of a few months, a couple of weeks, a few weeks during that time. We'd love to have you do that. And then thirdly, maybe to consider in some way supporting us financially. To start a new work, it is like starting a new business. And a great deal of capital is needed. And our budget for startup in the first year without any salaries, you know, without paying me a nickel or any secretaries or administrative people, our budget to start up is over $100,000. So it's very expensive to start a new work. And so any help that you guys would consider giving us would certainly be appreciated. But again, just the opportunity to talk to you guys, to come into a wonderful church like this, where there's so much history and tradition and a people who understands mission is a great honor to me. And guys, if I can answer any questions that you might have about the work, I'll be around after church and we'll be glad to talk to you. But it is exciting. We've named the church. It's going to be called Watermark Community Church. So we're excited about that. And again, thanks, guys, for your time. Thanks for your prayers. And thanks for considering being a part of what I believe is going to be an exciting new movement in the Troutman area.
Thanks, Joel. We do believe in your ministry, and we'll absolutely be praying for you all and Watermark. I'd like to say a special word of welcome to our visitors. We're glad to have you here with us today, and we hope that you'll find this to be a warm place. As our pastor sometimes says, we're not perfect, but we love each other, and we seek to follow the Lord's will and to do His work, and it's a blessing to have you at College Park today. If you are a visitor, if you would just slip up your hand just high enough for the ushers to see, we'd like to give you a packet of information about our church, including our most recent highlights newsletter and what's going on in the life of our church, as well as a letter from our pastor and some more information about what College Park is all about. And if you would like some more information beyond what is in the packet, Raymond, Jeff, Mary, and I would love to talk to you, so feel free to approach us or anyone else you see. But most importantly, thank you for being with us in worship today. As we transition into worship, I'd ask that you would stand and join me for our invitation to share in worship as printed in your order of service. The invitation to share in worship comes from the 86th Psalm. Let us read responsively. Among the gods, there is none like you, O Lord. No deeds can compare with yours. All the nations you have made will come and worship before you, O Lord. They will bring glory to your name.
For you are great and do marvelous deeds. You alone are God.
Teach me your way, O Lord, and I will walk in your truth. Give me an undivided heart that I may fear your name.
I will praise you, O Lord my God, with all my heart. I will glorify your name forever. For great is your love toward me. You delivered me from the depths of the grave.
Come, thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious sonnet sung by flaming tongues above. Praise the mount I'm fixed upon it, mount of thy redeeming love.
Let's pray. Come, giver of all blessing. Lord, even now, begin to turn our hearts towards you. Lord, we praise you for your love. Lord, your faithfulness. Lord, we praise you for all the circumstances that you've brought us through in the past. Lord, we look forward with hope to those that you'll bring us through in the future. Lord, for those things that may even today be weighing on our heart. Lord, we come to you this morning knowing that you are in control. And Lord, trusting that your love is so great and so deep that everything we go through, Lord, you will use in the way that's best for us. And Lord, I just ask that you be with us as we worship this morning. Lord, that your presence would fill this place. Lord, that we would know your love, we would know your hope. Lord, that your spirit would speak to us this morning. Lord, be with us as we worship. And may the words of our mouth, Lord, the songs that we sing, the prayers that we pray this morning, bring you all glory and honor and praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
As we worship the King, we share in the ministry of the God's Word through the reading of Scripture. I'll be reading first from the Old Testament in the first book of Kings, 1 Kings chapter 19, beginning at verse 1, as printed in your order of worship. I welcome you to follow along in your own Bible. If you do not have your Bible with you, there should be a pew Bible located close to you. From 1 Kings 19. Now Ahab told Jezebel everything Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. So Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah to say, "May the gods deal with me, be it ever so severely, if by this time tomorrow I do not make your life like that of one of them." Elijah was afraid and ran for his life. When he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant there, while he himself went a day's journey into the desert. He came to a broom tree, sat down under it, and prayed that he might die. "I have had enough, Lord," he said. "Take my life. I am no better than my ancestors." And continuing at verse 8. So he got up and ate and drank. Strengthened by that food, he traveled 40 days and 40 nights until he reached Oreb, the mountain of God. There he went into a cave and spent the night. And the word of the Lord came to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He replied, "I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, broken down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I am the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too." The Lord said, "Go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by." Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. Then a voice said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He replied, "I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, broken down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I am the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too." The Lord said to him, "Go back the way you came and go to the desert of Damascus." Also from the Old Testament, in Psalm 42. As a deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. Where can I go and meet with God? My tears have been my food, day and night, while men say to me all day long, "Where is your God?" These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I used to go with the multitude, leading the procession to the house of God, with shouts of joy and thanksgiving among the festive throng. Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. My soul is downcast within me. Therefore I will remember you from the land of the Jordan, from the heights of Hermon, from Mount Mizar. Deep calls to deep, in the roar of your waterfalls, all your waves and breakers have swept over me. By day the Lord directs his love, at night his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I say to God my rock, "Why have you forgotten me? Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by the enemy? My bones suffer mortal agony as my foes taunt me, saying to me all day long, 'Where is your God?' Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God." And also from the New Testament, in Luke's Gospel, in the 8th chapter, beginning in verse 26. They sailed to the region of the Gerasenes, which is across the lake from Galilee. When Jesus stepped ashore, he was met by a demon-possessed man from the town. For a long time, this man had not worn clothes or lived in a house, but had lived in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell at his feet, shouting at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, don't torture me." For Jesus had commanded the evil spirit to come out of the man. Many times it had seized him, and though he was chained hand and foot and kept under guard, he had broken his chains and had been driven by the demon into solitary places. Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" "Legion," he replied, because many demons had gone into him. And they begged him repeatedly not to order them to go into the abyss. A large herd of pigs was feeding there on the hillside. The demons begged Jesus to let them go into them, and he gave them permission. When the demons came out of the man, they went into the pigs, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and was drowned. When those tending the pigs saw what had happened, they ran off and reported this in the town and countryside, and the people went out to see what had happened. When they came to Jesus, they found the man from whom the demons had gone out, sitting at Jesus' feet, dressed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Those who had seen it told the people how the demon-possessed man had been cured. Then all the people of the region of the Gerasenes asked Jesus to leave them because they were overcome with fear. So he got into the boat and left. The man from whom the demons had gone out begged to go with him, but Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return home and tell how much God has done for you." So the man went away and told all over town how much Jesus had done for him. May God bless the reading and understanding of his holy word.
Here I raise mine Ebenezer, hither by thy help I'm come, and I hope by thy good pleasure safely to arrive at home. Jesus sought me while a stranger, wandering from the fold of God. He to rescue me from danger interposed his precious blood.
Please join me in prayer. Lord, we have gathered in this place because we seek you. Just as we read about Elijah, about the psalmist, about the demon-possessed man, and many, many others in Scripture, Lord, we long for your presence. You are the answer to all of our needs. Lord, you are the answer. Lord, we seek your presence because a relationship with you and a walk with Christ is far better than anything that we can accomplish on our own. One day in your courts, Lord, is better than 1,000 in our own. Lord, we seek your presence because your love lifts us up. It abides within us. It helps us be who you created us to be. And it helps us do what you created us to do. Lord, let us not wait any longer. Just because you are available to us all the time, let's not wait any longer because it's convenient to wait. Lord, let us enter your presence today and spend each day, today, tomorrow, and the next day, fully in your presence, with you abiding with us on our walk, you helping us with the problems of our lives, even though our minds are small, Lord. We don't need to understand everything about you. We just need to seek you, to come into your presence and allow you to guide our lives. Lord, this week, for each one of us, this church and others outside these walls, Lord, we pray that we will seek your presence, that we will accept the gift that you have so freely given us so that we can be who you created us to be and that we can do what you created us to do. Amen.
Father, we gather here today on the heels of a month of celebrations. We've celebrated mothers and fathers, new babies and new graduates, new believers. We've celebrated the wonderful gift of music. And now, Lord, as we gather today, we turn our hearts towards your calling to us, missions. We're grateful, Lord, for folks like Joel who come to challenge us to look outside the walls of our church to reach out to those who haven't heard the wonderful news of your word. And we're grateful, Lord, for folks like Roger who challenge us to put our thoughts into action, to go and to give to those who are not as blessed as we are. Lord, we ask that you would take our doings and our gifts, take them out of the place here to reach out to the world that they might hear the wonderful name of Jesus. Bless these gifts and these actions, Lord, that they may be a blessing to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you.
If you'll take your Bible this morning, I've changed my mind again, not since this morning when I got up, but since this was printed. We'll be reading from Galatians chapter 3, and we'll be reading verses 23 through 29. Galatians chapter 3, verses 23 through 29. Paul writes these words. He says, "Before this faith came, we were held prisoners by the law, locked up until faith should be revealed. So the law was put in charge of us to lead us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. And now that faith has come, we are no longer under the supervision of the law. You are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. Therefore is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you all are one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." May God bless the reading of His Word. The law. The law in the state of North Carolina tells me that if I park in a handicapped spot and I'm not handicapped, that I've broken the law. Now, it doesn't carry with it a death sentence or anything like that. But what it does do is tell me, you get a ticket. You get a little slip. And with that slip, you get a court date. And the good news is, you get to pay some money. That's what the law says. You know, the handicapped spots are out there for a reason. They're out there so those who need to be closer to the building can have a place to park. Now, we've all seen those spots, and there are lawbreakers all over the city. People who park in those handicapped spots because they are such prime locations. And as a church, believe it or not, we even have this problem. Ooh. We have people that actually park in the handicapped spots that aren't handicapped or don't have one of those little blue tickets, you know, hanging from their rearview mirror. And the justification for doing that, just as the justification for breaking many laws, is, well, you know, I'm only going to be here for just a minute. Or, you know, we don't have that many handicapped people, so it won't hurt if I park here. Right? We all kind of want to justify that some way or another. Now, that may seem like a ridiculous illustration, but the law, quite frankly, is not a suggestion to us. The law is a rule. It's an edict from a group that's been authorized to make those regulations that bind a particular group of people together, right? Now, sometimes it's a federal law, something that the government in Washington, D.C. passes. Sometimes it's a state law. But most of the time, you know, in terms of traffic ordinances and things like that, it's just kind of local city government that decides those things. So, sadly, unless laws are enforced, they kind of become de facto suggestions, if you will. Now, we as human beings, we have a strange and kind of funny relationship with law, right? None of us wants to be told what to do, right? How many of you really like to be told what to do every minute of your life? We have counseling available. You know, we don't like that. We do not like to be told what to do as human beings, but yet we're rational. And so part of us says, you know, there's value in that. Because if we don't have somebody that kind of pulls all this together and gives us some code for behavior, if we don't do that, then civilization as we know it will kind of devolve into chaos, right? So therefore we abide by these laws as kind of a necessary evil. We have to do that. It's a function of how we are part of a community. And into this quandary of human consternation steps the Apostle Paul. And this morning he begins setting up an argument. And in verse 23, which we read a moment ago, he says, "Before this faith came, we were held prisoners by the law, locked up until faith should be revealed to us." Paul kind of describes the law as a disciplinarian, if you will. One of my seminary professors described the law as a bad babysitter. Then he went on to explain what he meant by that. He says, you know, in first century Palestine, the law was viewed as kind of a bad babysitter
because they had been given the law hundreds and hundreds of years ago, but since that time, they had heaped upon the law, as it was given by God to Moses, they had heaped upon the law hundreds and thousands of regulations and restrictions. That's what they've been doing. And so by the time Jesus came to earth, the Hebrew law was something that was so restrictive. I mean, he kind of flew in the face of it on numerous occasions. He flew in the face of these traditions which had been added to the law and become to be understood as equal to God-given Scripture. Now, this may sound strange to us, and before you get on your high horse, understand something. Consider this. There are many unchurched people, and they look at us, and they say they want nothing to do with organized Christianity because of the layers and layers and layers and layers of traditions that we have equated with Scripture. And they say, you know, you take those traditions and all that it accomplishes is it chokes the celebration right out of worship. And it chokes the joy right out of life. So are we as the Christian church with a capital C, are we guilty of that? Are we guilty as charged? I think we need to hear those voices crying out and be honest with ourselves. But consider for just a minute, conversely to the bad babysitter syndrome that kind of led me off on that tirade, consider the opposite of what that would be. A parent. A parent who loves a child and has an intimate relationship with that child, so therefore wants to care for the child. Conversely with a hireling, a bad babysitter who watches a child just because they've been paid money to do that, we have a parent that cares for a child as only a parent can do. The book of Hebrews speaks to this situation when it compares and contrasts Moses to Jesus. It says, Moses was faithful in all of God's house as a servant. Christ, however, was faithful over God's house as a son. So the law may get the job done with respect to, I don't know, monitoring human behavior and conduct, but it cannot give depth of relationship. Either you follow the law or you don't, and you pay the consequences. But the achievement of the law can never bring joy to practice. For many people, following the letter of the law, there's safety in that, right? Preacher, just tell me what to do. Don't make me think for myself. Don't make me read Scripture. Just tell me what to do. There's safety in that. There's security in that. Just give me the letter of the law. That way it tells me exactly what I can and cannot do. So following the law becomes like a child who's given a page out of the coloring book and told, stay within the lines. Color within the lines. And you're going to be graded on whether you stay within those lines. So rather than doing something that's art worthy, they just color. It reminds me of a commercial years ago. I don't know how many, probably 8, 10, 9, 10 years ago. And it opens with this guy who's driving down the road. He's in a pickup truck. He's driving down the road. And he's almost hypnotized by the lines as they're going by. And then he has this flashback. And in the flashback, he sees this teacher standing over him again saying, stay within the, just stay within the lines. And in an act of freedom, it flashes back to the present and he makes a left turn and shoo, goes right off the road. And the next thing you see is him going over these dunes and hills going, yahoo! He has found new expression. I think it was a Nissan truck commercial now that it comes to me. I think it was. He has found new expression for his freedom. And Paul is trying to help the Galatians to see that now that Christ has come, they have a new and creative way to live. You see, we become children of faith because of Christ. And in Christ, we're no longer bound, as Paul writes elsewhere in 2 Corinthians, we're no longer bound by the letter of the law, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. The Spirit offers spontaneity for human benefit that merely a strict adherence of the law just simply cannot give. We find ourselves in a culture now which is in some ways very, very similar to the Jewish culture of the first century. It's a culture that divides people by legal categories, right? People argue on legal grounds about what constitutes a legal marriage or what constitutes legally when life begins. And I guess it's good we have those discussions because it kind of keeps us as a society from tearing ourselves to pieces. But yet Paul believes that because of the Spirit of Christ, the possibility exists that Christian believers can abstain from the Jewish mindset that advocates legal categories. And instead, Paul tells us in verse 28, he says, "There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus." When we live in faith, Paul says that all human and legal distinctions between human beings dissolve into belonging to Christ. In baptism, God has given us a tangible symbol of what that unity may look like. He says, in baptism, God has clothed us with Christ. Now, that doesn't mean that differences in Christians should disappear, because we're all unique creatures. We've been given individual talents and gifts to use for God's glory. Yet we shouldn't be so prone to kind of list all those talents out in some sort of hierarchical order of importance or excellence. But that's exactly what's being done in our churches, in our denominations, all across the United States, all across the world. And I'm getting sick and tired of it. It just makes me a little bit nauseated to read some of this stuff. And if it does that to me, you've got to understand what it does to those who are not yet believers. They're sick and tired of hearing about it too. And in response to what they're seeing in organized church, there are many Christians who are leaving the church to find expression and worship of God outside of the church. If you want to read a book that will challenge you, read the book by George Barna called Revolution. It's a remarkable read. Yet, you know, we could stand up and we could proudly quote Scripture and say, "Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together," and other Scripture passages. And we could use those as justification for treating those people as secondary citizens to the kingdom. But before we do that, we need to examine ourselves and our churches and see if the church is even vaguely resembling what Christ ordained and desires. Do you get my line of thought? You see, there's a whole generation that's turning away from church because they're bright enough to understand that the church in 21st century America doesn't even resemble the church in Acts. Paul writes as he does to the Galatians because evidently the differences among them had become strong points of contention. Some felt and they acted superior to others based on legal qualifications. And the people had returned to living by rules and regulations and restrictions and distinctions apart from a spirit that valued each and every person and the gifts and talents they bring to community life. I hope that doesn't sound familiar for us. That's something the church down the street does. But you get my point. It's time for church to wake up and to grow up. People are searching for places where they can be part of something significant. Something that will impact not only culture, but something that will impact eternity as a part of the body of Christ. They're searching for an environment where they can encounter the living God in worship. Not see tradition taught as divine. And you see, they're smart enough to know the difference. And in order to be the church that Christ ordained, we have to understand who we are in Christ. In baptism, we have been clothed in Christ. And as His disciples, we should seek His Spirit daily. Get to know Him intimately. See how He interacted. See how He responded to people in need. See who He was. And if we'll do that, then the way that we encounter and interact with believers and not yet believers will change dramatically. Forget all the magic formulas. Forget all the programs that, quote, church growth experts will throw out to you. And hear the words of Jesus when He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, and mind. And love your neighbor as yourself. If we will do that, then we will begin to understand faith and law and how they relate to one another. Let's pray together. Dear Father, as the creation, sometimes we take the easy route. We confess that. We confess that we just want to do the easy thing. God, just tell us what to do. We'll do that. Don't force us to spend the time and the commitment to get to know you better. That's what we say. But Father, we pray that that's truly not what we mean. We pray that we would love you so much, that we would love you with all of our heart and our soul and our mind. And in doing so, we would desire a deep, intimate, personal relationship with you. That we would take upon ourselves your Spirit so that we can know what it is to have new freedom of expression in life through faith. The law is not gone, but the law is to lead us to you. We still obey the law. We still obey your commandments because we love you. But that's not the slave that we've become. We now, Father, are willing servants to the Spirit. Help us to understand the difference and embrace the difference so that others may see the difference and desire that same relationship that we have. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. This morning, as you've experienced worship, I hope that you have encountered the living God. And in doing so, I hope that if you're not yet a believer, I don't believe in non-believers, I believe in not yet believers. And if you're not yet a believer, we want to share with you how you can know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And be glad to share that with you this morning. If you are a believer and you're saying, Raymond, I've been taking the easy path. And from now on, I want to embrace a relationship with God, to learn more about Him and have new freedom in Christ. It's an opportunity for you to respond. Maybe you would like to come and pray here at the altar. Pray that the Spirit would be free to move here in this place, to correct and convince and to lead and encourage those who need that. Perhaps you're here and would like to join this body of believers that we call College Park Baptist Church. We're not perfect. We're forgiven. And we're trying to work together to be the hands and feet of Christ in this community. And we welcome you to be a part of that. Whatever your decision is, we give you an opportunity to make that public as we stand and sing together now. invite you to remain standing for the benediction and the response. I invite you to sing the response that is printed in the order of service as we depart from here. Let's pray to our Father. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love. A love that is a deep, intimate, unselfish, unconditional love. Father, we pray that we would exercise the same sort of love one to another. Be with us as we go from this place. Encourage us. Give us strength and courage. It's in Jesus' name that we pray.
This concludes this week's podcast of our worship service. Thank you for joining us. We would love to hear from our listeners. Please send our pastor an email at raymond@collegeparkbaptist.org. That's raymon@collegeparkbaptist.org. Or call us at 1-336-768-5870. May the peace of the Lord be with you in the coming week.